Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Well, while the Chad's away, we'll play. And Dave Harrigan and I, producer Dave Harrigan and former Governor Tim Pawlenty, filling in for Chad Hartman on the Noon to 3 Chad Hartman Show today. And it's not just a normal Wednesday. It's Wolves Wednesday. Dave Harrigan, tell us about Wolves Wednesday.
That's right. We can play while Chad's away, but we still need to give the people the chance to get the Wolves tickets. Wolves Wednesday today, before the end of the show, you'll hear the wolf howl at some point. When you hear that, you got to be caller three. You get a four-pack of tickets for the game. That'll be April 9th, which happens to be Easter Sunday, a 2:30 start. Wolves and New Orleans Pelicans at Target Center. But once again, here once you hear that wolf howl, listen to that howl, be caller three, and you get a four-pack of tickets to see the Wolves and Pelicans on Sunday, April 9th.
All right. That sounds like a good deal. When you listen for that howl and then call in, get those free tickets. Before the break, we were talking a bit about the state budget and federal budget. And the Star Tribune did an editorial the other day, and they talked a little bit about the federal budget deficit. Now, there's the debt and the deficit. The deficit is what they're in the red every year, and then the debt is what it adds up to or rolls up to over time as a grand total. And in relevant part, they said for fiscal year 2023, federal outlays of our federal government was going to be $6.2 trillion. $6.2 trillion. But here's the bigger problem, besides the fact that that's a lot of money. They're only going to take in $4.8 trillion. So they continue this many, many decade-long pattern of spending more, some years by unbelievably larger amounts, than they're taking in. And so they took in 6.2. They're spending 6.2, spending 4.8. So they are spending $1.4 trillion that they don't have, So it's extraordinary. And it's some number years that's even bigger. So let's say for every dollar you had that you spend, you didn't have, say, 25 cents of it. You wouldn't last long as a household, as a business, as anything. And yet that's our federal government in action, or more specifically, inaction. We're fortunate to be joined now by somebody who has studied these issues in a thoughtful, bipartisan way for a long period of time. And he is Tim Penny. Many of you will remember him as the former congressman from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District, which back then and still now is southeastern Minnesota. He was in Congress between 1982 and 1994. Throughout his congressional career, Tim placed an emphasis on budget issues. He really is an expert on these things. He chaired the Democratic Budget Group, as well as the Porkbusters Coalition. Previous to that, he served in the Minnesota Senate. He was also appointed by President Bush to a bipartisan commission on Social Security reform. He's also been involved in a public relations firm, but importantly, he does really a public service work and leadership work in Minnesota still, serving as Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation's president and CEO. He's also the co-author of a number of books, and he's an all-around good guy. By the way, he and I ran against each other for governor together, and of course, when you run against somebody, it's a hard-fought battle, but I've really enjoyed getting to know Tim better since then, and we've got a good and cordial relationship, and he's just an all-around really good guy. And so thank you, Tim, for joining the show and sharing your thoughts about this important topic.
Hey, glad to be with you, although it's rather a depressing topic.
Yeah, it is a little depressing, and something that you've been, you and I should mention, importantly, Tim is on the board of Citizens for a Responsible Budget, And that's a national organization with a lot of luminaries on it. And he's not just on the board. He's a co-chair, one of the leaders of the organization. And we appreciate his work there. Well, Tim, let's just start with, I think you were in Congress, if I recall correctly, when one of the only time in modern history where the Congress balanced its budget, at least for 1 year. Were you in Congress when that happened?
It happened shortly after I came home, but I was involved in the last 2 years of the President Bush administration and the first 2 years of the Clinton administration, where we had pitched battles over deficit reduction and actually made significant headway. I teamed up with my friend John Kasich, who was then a Republican congressman from Ohio, became the Budget Committee chairman shortly after I retired and came home to Minnesota. And a lot of the work, the groundwork that we laid in those years fed into the work that he, together with President Clinton, did to get us back to a surplus for the first time in many, many decades.
Yeah. Well, Tim, I mentioned a little bit this year's...
We blew it all right away in the early 2000s, and we've been digging the hole deeper ever since, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the numbers I mentioned just for 2023, sort of, it's a pattern that repeats itself. And I'll just be real blunt here. It doesn't seem like it matters which party's in control of Congress, the Senate. We've had every configuration, Republican or Democrat president, Republican or Democrat Senate or House, you know, with one exception, the one you mentioned in the mid-1990s, they haven't balanced the budget in forever. And the debt just gets worse and worse and worse and is accelerating. Why can't they or why won't they, in your view, make any meaningful progress on these issues?
Well, one is that the choices are too difficult. At the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, which I have the honor of co-chairing, along with former Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana and a colleague of mine from the Congress who then went on to serve in both the Clinton and Obama administrations, Leon Panetta. He was the budget chairman when we were in Congress together. We've been hammering on this message for years and years, but we conclude that it takes a combination of spending cuts, not just restraint, and tax revenues in order to get a handle on a deficit this large. And sometimes we feel like we're a wolf crying in the wilderness. But our board of directors is comprised of almost everybody that's ever served as the head of the Office of Management and Budget, the head of the Government Accountability Office, the head of the Congressional Budget Office. So these are prestigious individuals who know what they're talking about. But because the choices are so difficult, it's hard to get politicians on either side of the aisle to embrace this. Secondly, a piece of this needs to deal with entitlements, and those are touchy subjects, Social Security and Medicare. And as you saw at the State of the Union speech a month or so ago, both sides of the aisle basically took any talk about those two programs off the table, even though they are both headed for insolvency in the not-too-distant future. So choices are too difficult, and I think both parties have gotten away with a big lie for many years. On the Democratic side, they pretend just simply tax the rich and it takes care of it. There are not enough rich people to take care of this problem. And on the Republican side, it's cut taxes, it'll grow the economy. Well, we've tried that, and it hasn't quite gotten us there. So neither side wants to bite the bullet.
You're listening to WCCO Radio, 830, noon to 3, Chad Hartman program. Guest host Tim Pawlenty here, along with very distinguished guest, member of Congress Tim Penny. He's also, as he mentioned, a co-chair of the Citizens for a Responsible Budget, and that's an organization that tries to bring attention to these issues of the federal deficit and debt running out of control and tries to offer some solutions as well. Tim, we talked about the deficit. I did in a Star Tribune editorial, which was $1.4 trillion this year. But, of course, every year goes by, it's more and more trillions under the debt pile, which is different. Can you give us a number for what the debt is adding up to these days?
Yeah, well, it's $31 trillion now, which is about the size of our annual economy in the United States. So our debt is as large as our entire economy, which tells you how bad things are. And we haven't had a debt that has been as big as or larger than our economy since World War II. And, of course, that's understandable that we had to borrow a lot of money to fight that war. Now it's irresponsible to run up this kind of debt in times of relative peace. And that amounts to, I believe, $94,000 per person in America, or about $240,000 per household in America. So wow. To put it in those terms, it's kind of a frightening number.
Well, we're going to take a short break, but we're going to continue our discussion with Tim Penny, who is, again, recognized nationally as an expert on these issues. And we'll come back and talk about what it might take for Congress to actually do something about it and what that pain point might look like. And we also will talk about, if nothing does happen, what's likely to happen in terms of economic impacts, in terms of interest rates and the country's ability to even afford those interest rates going forward, and what that means for other valued programs or initiatives as well. WCCO Radio 830, we'll be right back after this break. We are back on Noon to 3 with Chad Hartman, or the Chad Hartman Show. This is Tim Pawlenty, guest hosting for Chad today. We're continuing our discussion about the federal debt and deficit, which should alarm all of us, as we'll learn more about that as, you know, with our discussion with Tim Penny. But before we do, it's time for the Lindus Construction Time Check. It's time to get 50% off installation labor on Infinity from Marvin Windows. The time now is 1:48. All right, and joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline is Tim Penny. Many of you will remember him as a former congressman from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District. Among his many other elements of his public service career, he is a co-chair of the Citizens for a for a Responsible Budget. And he and a lot of other people who know a lot about that are trying to raise awareness and attention about the problem, the magnitude of it, and what we might do about it. Tim, the issue before us is, will Congress act, and will the president act, not just this one, but anyone? What is it going to take, do you think? I mean, I think we can fairly conclude after watching this for 30 years that they're either unwilling or incapable of doing it. So some sort of external event is going to have to force their hand. It seems, I hope that it didn't have to get to that point, but it seems like that's where we're headed. What type of external events could force action or provide more impetus to get something done?
Well, my co-chair, Leon Panetta, has often said that on the tough decisions, and this is certainly one of them, it takes either leadership or a crisis. And it's pretty clear we're not getting leadership. Sadly, President Biden's budget would add $19 trillion in debt over the next 10 years. So as bad as $31 trillion is, add 19 to that. And half of that increase, sadly, is coming from interest costs. So we're going to absorb an additional $10 trillion in interest on our existing debt over the next 2 years, especially as interest rates continue to climb. But my belief is that sooner or later you hit the wall. And when that crisis hits, economic crisis driven by all of this debt and such, we're going to have to deal with this just as we have in the past with other economic calamities. And the difference is this time, the solution can't be just throwing more money out there in order to save the economy. It's going to have to be austerity at long last.
And we should explain for our listeners that the federal government, issues debt in the form of bonds or treasuries and the like to, have this debt be out there and have other people buy it. And of course, we pay other countries, investors of all types, an interest rate for their willingness to loan the federal government this money. Can you explain to us how that works and how rising interest rates could cause sort of the dominoes to fall or the house of cards to fall?
Yeah. And first I want to start by saying as bad as things are in terms of the president's proposed budget, I have it on good authority that it doesn't look like either the Senate or the House are going to bother developing a budget this year. So that means that our spending and tax policies are really not going to be based on any blueprint. It's just going to be kind of cobbled together. And that's no way to deal with the nation's business. But, you know, we've had the good fortune over the last decade or so of very low interest rates on our national debt. That's beginning to climb now. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to go from just a few hundred billion in interest on our national debt to probably $1 trillion annually on our interest payments on our national debt in the coming years, just because we are no longer going to benefit from the low rates we've paid. And that has a compounding effect. And essentially, we're going to borrow money to pay the interest. You know, you can't in your private life on your credit cards. You can't do that for very long before you're in trouble. And even a nation like the United States, which is the strongest economy in the world, can't get away with this forever either.
And it is sort of like paying off one credit card debt with another credit card, isn't it?
Precisely. Precisely.
Yeah.
We've done that with the Social Security system as well. You know, we 10 years ago. No longer were raising enough money annually from annual payroll taxes from the workers in order to pay benefits. So we've been drawing on the so-called trust fund for a decade. And within another decade, that trust fund will be exhausted. But the money in that trust fund wasn't money sitting in a bank account somewhere or an investment fund somewhere. It was money that had been spent on the rest of our federal government over the years with the promise that we'll repay it when it's needed. So for the last number of years, we've been borrowing money to repay the money we've borrowed out of Social Security. And that doesn't get any better because that so-called trust fund is exhausted within 10 years. And then we're only going to have enough money paid into that program to pay about 75% of the benefits we've promised.
Now, we're talking to Tim Penny, who, among other things, is a co-chair of the Citizens for a Responsible Budget. We're talking about the federal budget and how deeply in the red it is every year and over time adding up to a mountain of debt. Tim, on the issue of things that could trigger a catastrophe, one would be these continued rising interest rates and the interest that the government has to pay on its own debt going up and up and up. And I suppose another would be purchasers of the debt, whether they be private investors or other countries, saying, you know what, your finances have gotten so shaky, even if inflation gets tamed, We're just not sure about your ability to pay it back. We demand a higher premium, a higher interest rate to continue to buy this debt. And I think of China as one example. Do you think about or worry about an effort like that or a demand like that also causing this house of cards to begin to fall?
Oh, yeah. And that's why I referenced earlier that we can't go on like this, because eventually we do hit the wall. And that's one way we could hit the wall. And you, during your experience dealing with Minnesota state budget and then your leadership at the Financial Services Roundtable, you kind of know how this plays out, because at some point they're going to demand much higher interest rates to borrow our debt, because they're going to see that that we've got more debt than our annual economy could pay for. And here's the problem. You can't predict exactly when we're gonna hit that wall or go over that cliff, but you can predict with certainty that it's going to happen if we don't get our fiscal house in order.
Yeah. Tim, we just have a minute or a little more left. So I would like to just touch on two things that are more personal to you, because I think many Minnesotans appreciate what you've done. You've had a lifetime of public service, Congress, legislature, various other things. But when you left Congress, did you leave because you felt like you had done all you could or needed to do, or did you leave frustrated and thinking, you know, this is not getting me where I want to be in terms of my contribution to the country?
Well, I never wanted to be a lifelong politician, so that was a piece of it. I wanted to get home to Minnesota before my kids forgot that they were Minnesotans. But yes, a high degree of frustration. And part of it was that you know, things were becoming increasingly polarized, harder to work across the aisle. and we weren't dealing honestly with these problems on the fiscal front then. We knew what was going to happen to Social Security and Medicare before I left Congress, and I introduced various pieces of legislation to try to reform those programs so that they could remain solvent, and no one wanted to deal with these things then. And so that was a piece of the frustration that led me to just say, look, I can go home and get more done there.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim Penny, for being our guest on WCCO 830 Radio. And we appreciate you. I appreciate you personally. And I know our listeners appreciate all of your a lifetime of service to Minnesota and to our country. Thank you for all of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.